As many of you know, I am a child of the post-Vietnam War, and I grew up in a time where the communist government was very suspicious of outside activities, especially of Western influence. When I went to school, we were always taught be on the lookout and would report back to the principal or the board of education or the local government of what we have heard that might have upset or offset national security or balance, aka we were told to snitch on our family. And they told us it's what a patriotic thing to do, because we want to secure and provide a stable society. And they even tried to promote that by telling if we do all these good things, we would be promoted as exemplary students of Ho Chi Minh. And we would get recognized in front of everyone. Of course, I didn't do that because I didn't want to be killed by my dad. But it's what hard, because it's what hard to live your faith. For the longest time ever, the church in Vietnam, the government would restrict and set a number of ordination to the priesthood each year because they wanted to control the church. And also, they have tried to set up a national church like in China, but to no avail. The people stood against that and with patience and with perseverance overcome a lot of that. So I grew up in an environment that is very atheistic, meaning without God. The government is God. And so for the longest time ever, I was always afraid to live my faith or show the gesture of faith because I didn't want to get my family into trouble. I don't want to put my father into jail again. So for the longest time ever, I comply with what the government, what the communists, what society wanted of me. I live my faith in a very private way so that we keep our head low and keep everyone safe. But when I came to America, especially after when I received my first communion in America, I don't know why, but all of a sudden, there's an urge and a fire within my heart. And I remember asking my dad, "Dad, I would like to wear a cross or a crucifix on my chest now, as a sign of my faith and as a sign of my belief in Jesus Christ." And I think that kind of shocked my parents for a bit, and they didn't understand why, but they bought me a gold necklace with a gold cross, a small one, and I wore it until I graduated high school. And when I graduated from high school and entered the Redemptorists, a religious order in the church, I remember returning that cross and the gold necklace to my parents. As I received a new stainless steel necklace and the Redemptorist cross, which I still wear in front of my chest nowadays. For me, I didn't know why when I was young, but there was the desire to profess my faith. But now, living in the land of America, I had the freedom to profess my faith. And if I don't do it, shame on me. So I did. And perhaps this is what we are all called to do. I'm not asking you to go to the corner of Davy Avenue and Avenue D, or go down to that corner and start having signs saying, "Repent or you're all going to hell." I'm not asking you to do that. But I'm thinking of asking you, just like what the Lord has asked every one of us. He said very clearly, the first thing that the gospel opened with is what? fear no one. Fear no one. No one had control over us except for God. No one does. And he ends the gospel today with what he said, "Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Heavenly Father." So it's an acknowledgement, it's a response to the love that Jesus Christ has for us by professing our faith, by living our faith, and by being proud of our faith. Even though we don't have religious persecution here in America like many other countries around the world, we have political correctness, where we have bought into this false understanding of tolerance, where we make religion and faith become part of only the private realm and sphere. Let's not talk about religion in the public area. Let's not share about our faith or live our faith. We use the term tolerance to make everyone not feel like this is an oppression of something. But as a matter of fact, Pope Benedict XVI has said, in the Western culture and Western society, we have the dictatorship of relativism, where we are being silenced to say everything is all right as long as you feel like it. And God become a private matter, and faith become a private matter. And I think that we are being invited today to live that faith beyond the private realm, not to fear anyone, but to fear that we have not lived up in response to God wholeheartedly. I have lived through the communists, and I can tell you that they have used many methods to instill fear. But if we buy into that fear, we have lost. We should not be fearful of anyone, except that we should be fearful of losing friendship with God. Losing friendship with God, losing our faith, is more important than losing everyone else. Everything else. Can we take anything else with us when we die? No. But we will stand in front of the judge, of the merciful judge who look at us. And we need to ask ourselves, how am I living and responding to that love right here and now? As a matter of fact, to live our faith is to be countercultural. G.K. Chesterton had said, "A dead thing will go with the stream, with the flow. Only a living thing can swim against it." A dead thing will go with the stream or the flow. Only a living thing can swim against it. I want you to think about that. To believe, to have faith, is countercultural. To be against what our society wants, to go against all these anonymous trends, all these opinions, all the things that we have in this world, and to say, "I believe, I know who I believe, and I want to share that faith with you." We shouldn't be ruled by political correctness, or should we be ruled by fear? That's why the Lord has said, "Fear no one." Because faith is grounded in love. It's grounded in commitment. It is grounded in perseverance. And most important of all, it is grounded in courage. If we study the scripture and biblical history, we will know that the Matthean, or the community of St. Matthew, at the time of the composition of the gospel, they have gone through a lot of persecution. At this time, they have been exiled and been kicked out of the local synagogues. They no longer have a home. They were driven by fear, And a lot of people are asking themselves this question, then why do we have to believe for? Why can't we just go back to our old way and be like everyone else? Why do we have to be Christians? Why do we have to be believers of Christ? And that is why the scripture is written as a reaction to the crisis that was happening, as a way to fortify and strengthen the faith of early believers. Because for Jesus Christ, had given himself up about the year 33 AD, and the earliest scripture was not written until 55-60 AD, beginning with St. Mark. For that longest period of time, there was the oral tradition handed down to us. Because at that time, there was no need to be written down yet. Because the community was still alive, living in the Lord. But when crisis happened, people start to ask themselves, why do we have to believe when we suffer so much? The scripture was written as a way to fortify and strengthen the faith of early believers, to say, we believe because Jesus Christ had given his life for us. And to be a disciple is to mean that we follow him, even if it's mean to give up everything. My brothers and sisters, that's why from the beginning of the ages, faith was never a convenience. It is never a choice. It's never an option. That is why our faith from the beginning have always been called the way. El camino, the way. And who is that way? Jesus Christ, who lead us to God, the Heavenly Father. It's a life. It's a living. It's not a dead thing. It's not one among others. It is the way, the life, and the truth. And it is grounded in the person of Christ Jesus our Lord. Never an option. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, there are a lot of temptation in this life. And we have to admit, I will admit to you now, that sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we get worried. And oftentimes we get sidetracked from fixing our eyes on God. But it's okay. There's always time to return. There's always time for us to live our faith here and now. Don't believe in anyone who tells you that we can only change the world with politics. St. John Paul II said, in this third millennium, we need more witnesses of faith. And that change begins in your own family, in your own home, in your own relationship with your friends, with your colleagues, with your workers, with your family, with your relatives. That's why he said that his first seminary was on the lap of his mother, because she taught him the faith and he lived on the faith that was given to him, that was taught by his own mother. So we have to ask ourselves, as parents, grandparents, and parts of a family that have children, how are we handing on the faith to our children? What is the center of our family life? Have we prayed enough? Have we let God be the center of our lives yet or not? And it is simple as perhaps saying grace before a meal. By sharing with our children, how are they discovering or how do they see the presence of God in their life today? It is simply asked, just like what I said, maybe buying them a crucifix or a cross to wear. I sometimes get harassed a lot when I go to the airport, when my crucifix is a little bit big. So before I have TSA pre-check, they would always scan me down and pat me, make sure that I'm not a terrorist or anything, I guess. But Sometimes they ask me, why are you wearing that cross? I said, because I am a Christian, and I will wear that cross. It becomes an opportunity to evangelize and to share our faith. So what ways can we do to give testimony and give witness to our faith here and now? Perhaps by wearing a cross or a crucifix in front of our chest, by saying grace publicly, by praying with other people who we know, and by simply loving them and being patient with them as they walk down the journey of life as well. That's why we are the church. We are not the church who think that we are perfect. We are broken. We are imperfect. Because if we think that we have it all, then perhaps we won't be instruments of God's peace. But perhaps God makes us imperfect, and sometimes we tick each other off very well. But that's why we're here at the church, so that we are His instruments, and He is using us. Mother Teresa said, each and every one of us is kind of like a pencil in the hand of God. How He uses it, that's up to Him. But at the end of the day, we have to know who we belong to and who we love. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, fear no one. And that the Lord have said, everyone who acknowledged me before others, I will acknowledge before my Heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Heavenly Father. May we have the courage to always live our faith and have the courage to proclaim God at all times.